بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. Amongst the very great people of the past who had given their lives in standing up to the oppressors of the time was a person by the name of Sayyid Qutb rahimahullah. Recently, when Muhammad Mursi, the president of Egypt, passed away, and then the bayans that he gave during his time when he was president, while he was in the jail, many of them were played by people or related by people. At the time of his death, his son narrated how he saw his father's face after passing away, when he was in front of those evil soldiers, his face was different, irritated, angry. Said as soon as they went away, then although he had passed away, they said they saw his face suddenly become smiling face. And to see the same face of a person after passing away being angry and then smiling, he said that was a miracle of a martyr. And then when they had him buried next to one of the great people who had passed away before that, they found that that person in his grave was still fresh. So this was an entire jamaat of people. Amongst them was a person by the name of Sayyid Qutb, rahimahullah. He, his daughters, his family, they made a lot of sabr for this deen. And Allah tabarak ta'ala blessed them at very high levels. But they fought oppression and they died in that fight. So one bayan that Sayyid Qutb rahimullah gave, which was transcribed and then translated in different languages, was on what I will mention now. And he gave it as a purpose of that to create a tajdeed, because Egypt had seen a time when Egypt was the rose of the world in ilm. And there a time came where Egypt was the center of zulm and passing fatawa of evil throughout the world. So those people who saw once upon a time the golden era of Egypt, and then for them to see the complete turn, it was obvious in their mizaj, in their blood, that they were going to fight it. And in Islam, the victory is not getting the result. The victory is, are you ready to fight it or not? So those that were ready to stand up against zulm, كَلِمَةُ حَقٍ عِنْدَ سُلْطَانٍ جَائِرٍ is the hardest level of jihad, where you got no army behind you, you alone in this. And you still stand up and you say, I will not let it. So this group did it. So at that time his desire was to create an army. But Almighty Allah has times for every decision. And Muhammad al-Mursi rahimullah passed away now. So there were some people who were saying that if only he had done, because he became the president. For a while he was the president. While he was the president, perhaps he was the only president in the world who did not stay in a palace. Rather, he said that he will stay in a flat which will be rented. That's where he stayed. And one waqia they mention about him is when his sister became sick, and they told her that she can get treatment in one of the Western countries. So the amount to pay to transport her to that country was high. So he said, I can't afford this. So they said, no, the state will pay for this. He said, the state cannot pay for my sister's treatment. No president in the world ever spoke like that. And finally she passed away in that hospital, in this government hospital of Egypt, because he was not ready to use state money for his sister. He said, it belongs to the people. So like that, Islam saw such people. But very fast they removed him then. So when they removed him, so some people said, had he run his country in the method that the president of Turkey, Erdogan, ran it, then he would have been much more successful. So there's nothing like that. It is the decision of Almighty Allah. When it comes, it happens. But before that decision, Almighty Allah always takes blood first. The gardens of Islam are always going to be watered by the blood of a great man. The death of this president at the moment, Muhammad Mursi, is very, very valuable blood. And Allah tabarak ta'ala make it through his blood, Egypt will see miracles happening. Lot of things will start happening. But what a death, and how he took that death. How long they kept him in prison. president of a country, and how he stayed there and how he survived there with his Quran. So the decision of Almighty Allah, when it comes, it will happen, it will boom. But before that, there is a time where that the jihad and victory is standing up against evil, and these people did it. So in the beginning time, when the shaitani forces overtook the land of Egypt, that group that stood up in the forefront of them was a man by the name of Sayyid Qutb. And they had a desire that a group of mujaddideen must be created. Mujaddids means to make a revolution, bring back the Islamic spirit in the world, and to change the minds of people, and to turn them away from dunya and bring them towards deen. So he gave this bayan. And why this bayan I am giving it is because the purpose of this madrasa is also that. And the purpose of your coming to study is supposed to be also that. That, oh Allah, there's a very unique amanat, it's called amanat-e-uzma, a very high, very heavy treasure. When Allah Ta'ala found a group that was ready to carry that treasure, wherever those sahaba radiallahu anhu went, every door opened up to them. Every door. There was no barrier left. وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ أَلَّذِي إِرْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. To be able to be made that person who can carry that treasure, that amana, that honor, that responsibility wherever he goes. And Allah Ta'ala make it that the people take it from him. So that was his desire, that if that jamaat can be created, and again the world can see what is the fruits of Islam. So for the creation of that jamaat, he gave this bayan. He spoke to people and he said, perhaps we need to go back to the asal again. And to see what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started his sahaba radiallahu anhum on. And to make that platform our platform. And thereafter, whatever the results came after will be the results that our land will one day see. But to be able to come back onto this platform. Why I found this bayan very beneficial is because, alhamdulillah, to a great extent, madaris have spread in the world. Ifs classes have spread. Batil is also going higher. Haqq is also going higher. Day by day, as batil spreads further, haqq also spreads further. But a time does come where sometimes when we go for a jalsa, then our understanding of the spreading of haqq is how many people came for the jalsa? How many boys finished hifz-e Quran? How many people graduated as an alim? How many people are in Ula this year, in Dora this year? For me and for you, many a time, that's the sign that haqq is spreading its wings. Whereas haqq doesn't mean that. If one person is not an alim, but in his life the command of Allah is more important than everything else, then that is haqq. And if on the other side there's another person who's a master of every qiraat, and is a hafiz of every hadith, but his own desire means more to him than the command of Almighty Allah, then that is batil. Batil is there, not haqq. So sometimes when we see so much of haqq, sometimes could have been so much of batil, but you think this is haqq. So a time has come where madaris, the walls of the madrasa, the walls of the hifz class, the reading of the sabak, that has become known as that this is haqq. Whereas that itself is also not haqq. But haqq is what that was supposed to be creating. But if it's not creating that, then that itself is not. So he gave this bayan to say that what was that platform on which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah, every verse of Quran was revolving around that one platform. And he explained why that platform was so important. So the beginning of that platform seemed too simple. It was, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say that the only maqsad is Allah, the only deity is Allah, the only power is Allah, the only command comes from Allah, the only purpose of this whole thing is Allah. Now for me and you, that's like a very easy sabak. Qiraat's hard. I say, I'll teach you nahwa, that's hard. Sarf is hard. La ilaha illallah is the easiest sabak. There's no sabak in this. There's nothing to read in it. There's no kalima change in it. There's no word that's hard in it. But why was it that the Arabs, when they heard this thing, it was a big thing for them? So in that bayan, he gave a very nice example. He says there were many ways Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have got his message through. And sometimes the mind would have taught us it would have gone even easier and faster. But the method that he chose was that the bunyad is La ilaha illallah. That was going to create like tremors. Everyone was going to stand up. The poor was going to stand against him. The rich were going to stand against him. The woman, the men, everyone. So to explain that, he gave an example. He said amongst the Arabs there was something called qawmiyat. Qawmiyat means what we call like nationalism. Fight for your identity. He said on the one side were the Romans. On the one side were the Persians. Those Arabs that lived closer to the Persians, they were under Persian rule and they also ruled. The Persians told them, we're going to make you an Arabian king and you rule over your group of Arabs. And on the other side, those that were closer to the Romans, the Romans made them, but the Arabs had one blood in them. That if one cow had to eat from someone's land, just for that cow, they would be ready to fight for years and years. My cow, not your cow. You kill my cow, I will stand up against you. You kill my brother, 50 years later, I'll kill someone of yours. So to die was no issue for them. So he says, if Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted them to stand up, he could have made them stand up on the bunyad of qawmiyat. That why must others rule over you, you an Arab? And as soon as he did that, all the Arabs would have joined him. It was in their blood. Not one of them would have opposed him. And how far they would have gone after that, they would have gone. But once they became his, he could have taught them the kalima. Because they're his now. But the bunyad would have been qawmiyat. He gave another example. He said, iqtisad, money. There's always a few rich people in a land, but majority are poor. He says, Rasulullah's words and the manner of his speech was such that he could have put it in the minds of the poor people that the land belongs to you, not the rich. Join me and we will take over. The rich, poor people are always ready for that. Even if they'll get only two bananas, they'll go for the fight. Get happy. He could have done that. The poor people would have resisted, but in front of the rich, the poor rich would have resisted, but the poor are too many. They would have brought them down. After everyone would have become his, he could have told them, let me teach you the kalima la ilaha illallah. He said, but he wouldn't have found resistance. He gave a third example. He said, akhlaq, it's called islahi akhlaq. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have gone to them and told them that, you know what? Character is something that needs to be worked on. Because in every community you get many people who understand the issue of character. Before Islam, there was something called halful fudul, that the good people, they took qasams of character. That we're going to make sure in Makkah Mukarramah, no one's oppressed. Everyone is looked after, the poor is looked after, we look after the guests. So had he stood up on that day, no one would have opposed him. Those that were zalims would have looked at evil, but his group would have been very big. No opposition. And once he got that jamaat with him, islahul akhlaq, it would have been called tanzeem. A jamaat, a group, then he would work with them, he would teach them the kalima. He said so many ways could have brought about that result. But why was the command what? No, your bunyad will be la ilaha illallah. And why was that bunyad so scary for all the Arabs? He said the Arabs understood the meaning of that la ilaha illallah. That meaning of that la ilaha illallah was that whatever position you are, whether you a principal, whether you a husband, whether you a mother, whether you a teacher, whether you running 25 sheep under you, you running 25 workers under you, whether you just the boss over your own body, La ilaha was going to come and say, from today, what you want to do will not go. It was going to affect the poor person and the rich person. It was going to affect the man who was giving bayans of what is good akhlaq, to tell him, you also shut up now. The law of good akhlaq will come from the heavens. The leader was going to be told, you might have to lose your leadership. That group of Arabs, he could have brought them on qawmiyat fight, but la ilaha meant that a day comes, if the command from Allah comes, let the non-Arab rule over the Arab, you will have to say, I accept. La ilaha meant that whatever desire you got, when the command of Allah says no, it's no. You want to bury your daughter, 20 years you have been burying your daughter, the command is no, it's no. They understood la ilaha meant that the day the command came, liquor is not allowed. You cannot stand up and say, but I'm addicted. The word addiction has no meaning in front of la ilaha illallah. That la ilaha illallah, they understood that meaning was the bunyad, is that after today there's no you. You have no existence. You have no purpose. Your only job is to walk where you're told to walk, to talk when you're told to talk, to let go when you are asked to let go. 50 years you're working, 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 you established a whole empire. And then the command comes, just leave it. Suddenly you say, but I did so much. It said, la ilaha illallah, you did nothing. Everything is Allah, leave it, you have to leave it. So even the poorest of poor men, he also was told, la ilaha illallah is hitting against you also. That you might say, I want to eat this, but and la ilaha illallah might say, it's Ramadan, you can't eat it. It might say, it's pork, you cannot touch it. It might say, it was bought with haram money, you can't hold it. It will might say, you stole it from someone, you can't use it. La ilaha illallah. That bunyad for me and you, it meant that the maqsad, when it becomes Allah, then everything will open up. But are you ready to make Allah that maqsad? Why so many people in the world, we were in the Kruger Park, so we stopped by that place where they put up a Jamaat Khana for the Muslims. So the man who put it up, he came now to talk. He said, I put a lot of effort in that there, so you people can pray nicely. So I said, then you also, may God bless you, one day you become a Muslim also. So he said, don't talk to me about that. I don't believe in a God. So we never have time to discuss with him now, because we were rushing like to get out of the park. Just that sentence. He said, if there was God, all this wouldn't be happening what I see. But what makes the man not want to accept a God, a deity? He's a good man, he got no problem. He's ready to put up a musalla for Muslims to read salah also. So character is very good. He's a nice man. He's a noble man. He's a generous man. He looks after animals also, so he's a tame man. But why he doesn't want to accept an Allah? Because when you accept an Allah, you no longer in charge. The world does not want that. That there are times when I want to do what I want to do. In this madrasa, if the maqsad is ilm, you will become an alim, but la ilaha illallah, if it's not the bunyad of your ilm, you will remain in the madrasa, and every day, instead of going closer to la ilaha illallah, you will go closer to ana rabbukumul a'la. You will go closer to I'm the boss. There was a time when I was a jahil, now I'm alim. There was a time I never knew how to read, now I can read better than others. There was a time when I used to listen to bayans, now I can give the bayan. There was a time when people used to tell me what to do, no, now I will tell others what to do. There was a time when the rich man, I needed him, now the rich man needs me. I walk in the masjid, I look at him, I say, hold on, I'm the imam. When I go front, then you stand. And nowadays an imam can do it, Allah has given them the chan. The masjids need. If you read very well, if you speak very well, they won't let you go very fast. In the past, you came from India perhaps. They took your passport. They could abuse you. They could use you. They could kick you. The mutawalli could sway you. The poor imam sahab knew, if I lose my job, where am I going to go? In today's time, the poor mutawalli is scared of the imam. that if this imam goes, I'll lose my job. The people will say, we don't want this mutawalli anymore. But that imam, if la ilaha illallah is not his bunyad, then his ilm also becomes as a way of just gathering for him more greatness. He becomes ana rabbukumul a'la. Then he fights with another who he fights as a threat. When Allah is not the bunyad, then suddenly to be the imam on a musalla becomes the maqsad. To be the most famous person in an area becomes the maqsad. For your bayan to be heard becomes the maqsad. For your view to be accepted becomes the maqsad. That whole maqsad then, to become an alim then is nothing hard because there's no la ilaha illallah. I want to become an alim, but I got desires also. Do I have to break my desires to become an alim? Who said you have to break it? With your desires become an alim. You can WhatsApp at night, you can chat at night, you can talk at night. She might even ask you what you're doing. You say, I'm studying. You say, wow, what you studying? You say, today I studied about Hunayn and Badr. You say, wow, what is this? You can give a bayan also to her. Because there's no la ilaha illallah. That you have to be crushed also. That thing was very scary for the Arabs because they understood what it meant. For me and you, la ilaha illallah is not scary at all. Perhaps the reason is because we haven't yet taken la ilaha illallah. So I'm an alim, but I do not have tawheed. I'm a hafiz, but there's still no tawheed. I'm a qari, but there's still no tawheed. To memorize the Quran was not hard because I never have to break further desires. I was told, memorize Quran. He said, how long it'll take? It'll take 3 years. Well, I'll get after it. After it, wherever you get people will say, MashaAllah, hafiz of Quran. Well, I have to break myself after that. You don't have to break yourself after that. It's only 3 years sacrifice. I'm ready for it. I want to become an alim. What is going to be 6 years? 6 years of what? 6 years of dal and kari kichri. Are you ready for it? After that, what? After that, you'll go out in the world. Every country will be begging for you. Come, take over the masjid, musalla. Anything hard after that? No, nothing hard. You'll get a nice wife, you'll get nice children, you'll get a nice house, you'll live next to the masjid. Why you must sacrifice after that? Things will come. But in la ilaha illallah, it's not so simple. In la ilaha illallah, it is that till the day you die, every desire of yours that comes, you will have to be ready to submit to Allah and say no. If a zalim comes in front of you, you will have to be able to look at him. And he says, I'll take away your job. You say, let it go. Say, I'll separate you from your family. Let the separation take place. I'll put you in a jail. Let me go in the jail. I'll have you hung on top. Let me be hung on top. Why? Because there's a maqsad. There's a bunyad on which I have been built. And that bunyad is la ilaha illallah. That there is no me. Everything is Allah. So when my bunyad is being attacked, I won't let it be attacked. I was born for this, I'll die for this. La ilaha illallah. And they were those who gave their lives for it and how they gave their lives. Mine and your maqsad also must become in the madrasa. La ilaha illallah. And whenever something comes, no matter how hard it is to crush, but again I must think about that what is that intoxicating drink of tawheed? That I want that drink also. Am I ready to be a Sayyid Qutb? We all read the narration and we get so thrilled of it. Afdalul jihad, kalimatu haqq, inda sultanin jair. A zalim king in front. I stood up and I said, get lost. My Allah is more important to me than you. But to you meant what? More important to me, my Allah, is your wealth that you can give me. The pretty girls you can put in front of me. The comforts and enjoyments you can give me. Today, me and you sitting in our comfort zone of South Africa, that zalim king of Egypt or Arabia or wherever is not in front of us. But in front of me and you, there is something called nafs. That's also a zalim king. Am I ready to say to my nafs, get lost? That the command of my Allah is more important than you. You can go cry whole night, but I'm not going to let it go. Bleed whole night, I'm not going to let it go. Why? Because my bunyad is la ilaha. That that there is no deity, meaning you also not my deity. Illallah. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. That person who remembered Lot, what knowledge he had. But the one thing he forgot is that hawa, desires, nafs, is also a deity. And when he read La ilaha, he negated the Jewish gods and the Persian gods and the Hindu gods and the idols and all the different gods of the world. But the one god that he forgot is also a god, is that أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. It was that god that lived within him, called his desire. He never thought, I need to negate this, erase this, wipe this out, say no to this. And then the world starts. The bunyad of La ilaha illallah is a very strong bunyad. The skalima, every Sufi taught it to his murid, especially to the murid who he had hoped that one day you will change the world. But he taught it to him in a manner, read it and read it and read it so many times that it becomes your heart. It's in the inside, it's in the outside. It becomes your bunyad on which your heart is. It becomes the covering of the heart. There is nothing in you, nothing surrounding you but Allah. So they would read it 100 times, 1,000 times, 120,000 times. They just repeated, repeated, repeated. Sayyid Qutb ended his bayan. He said, when Allah Tabarak Ta'ala found the Jamaat to be so firmly grounded in Tawheed, وَأَلْزَمَهُمْ كَلِمَةَ التَّقْوَى وَكَانُوا أَحَقَّ بِهَا وَأَحْلَهَا, that the kalima of La ilaha illallah became part and parcel of them. أَلْزَمَهُمْ كَلِمَةَ التَّقْوَى. He says, then Allah Tabarak Ta'ala showed that they are ready now to carry that great amanat, and the doors of the world opened up after that to them. Because remember, what deen, what La ilaha illallah is a maqsad. Things could have happened with without La ilaha illallah. When they entered certain lands and they saw certain beauties, they saw certain women who would now become the treasures at their feet. Every nation which went in war and won the war, the first thing they did was they went wild in wealth and wild in celebrating in women. Rape of the woman and murder of the soldiers as revenge was always part and parcel of every army. It was only an army who had a bunyad of La ilaha illallah that could enter into a land, could take over the land, could be ruling over the land. A while later, the Christians of the land goes to the judge and they say, the way this Muslim army entered many years ago is not correct, because we had a certain truce. The details of the truce means that they never fulfill it. The judge will listen. The Khalifa will be told, listen. The judge will be told, pass the judgment. He'll look at it and he says, it seems they're right. Oh Muslims, we entered in a wrong manner. Everyone clear out. Whatever you own of this land is no longer yours. Leave it. Tomorrow we are going. Whatever you got, let it go. And you see an entire army the next day walking out of a city. It will only happen in the tariq of Islam. They entered lands, there was no rapes, there was no murders, there was no pulling down trees. They entered a land, that night there would be nothing but crying and sajda. When La ilaha illallah was a bunyad, then the doors of futuhat could open up. When La ilaha illallah will become our bunyad, may Allah make it. A time might come where wherever you go in the world, it will be you and only you. You and only you. Because the world is big. And every country is begging for one alim to come and make it happen. But if you reach that land, and the world goes wild for you, then when we speak of the world going wild, it means uncles will go wild. Every uncle got a pretty daughter, she'll also go wild. She'll also want to be your student. Today, unfortunately, we're seeing that there is so much of fitna happening in the name of ilm, especially in the places where girls are studying by men. When that bunyad was not la ilaha illallah, then the basis became that sabak, the basis became the teacher, the basis became the pretty girl. The teacher wants to hear how she reads the ibarat, because her nahwa became the maqsood. Does she read a dhamma with a full mouth or not a full mouth? He wants to see it. So parda can't be there anymore. He says, look at me and pronounce the words. Qiraat is very important. It's a maqsad. How can I put your qiraat right? You want to become a qari'a. But I have to see you to put your talaffuz right as he's seeing that lap. Where he's going to bother about la ilaha illallah? You've got another maqsad. In the name of ilm, when la ilaha illallah was not made the bunyad, even ilm suddenly became a joke after that. And shaitan would smile and he would say, pick another madrasa up, no problem, a third madrasa up. I'll bring more girls to come study also. As long as there's no haqq, I am also happy. You can have a third jalsa, fourth jalsa, fifth jalsa. So may Allah tabarak ta'ala put it in our hearts, that at least our bunyad starts with this la ilaha illallah. I am not here to become a great alim, to become a great orator, a great speaker, a great writer. I am here to lay a foundation under my feet of la ilaha illallah. And as that foundation becomes laid, I am not coming to change the world. I have to change myself. I have been given a da'wat by my Nabi, Qulu, you accept la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Open success will be for you. But were you ready to say, I submit? May Allah tabarak ta'ala make us all from those who are ready to submit. Mm-hmm. Submission means that even if I cry, even if I'm slaughtered, even if I'm made to bleed, even if the zalim says, are you crazy? I will say, I am crazy. But in the love of my Allah, nothing means anything to me but my Allah. And I live for that, and if I have to do, I'll die for that also. May Allah tabarak ta'ala make this realities in all our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana.